Welcome to the pre-holiday Christmas Hanukkah post-Hanukkah special of Life's a Banquet, the podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Pourable.
Starring your host, who I just mentioned, Zara
Tangora,
and Breton
Scott.
That's the two of us.
Hello. We are both here.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. First of all, again, thank you, listeners. I've heard from a lot of people that were listening to our podcast that called me and said, oh my gosh, I listened to you on the way to the gym this morning, on the way to work, and you made me laugh. And first of all, I don't know why, because I don't, whatever. I was the person.
You're funny.
No, because I was the person in high school that, like, when I would go up to give a speech, like a serious, you know, like, oh, this is the speech. I would stand up and people just started laughing. And what? I always thought.
Did you like make a fart noise or something? Or a real fart?
Something always would happen. I'd like trip and fall or like.
Okay, now we're getting to the bottom of why people are laughing. You're like, I didn't do anything. I was just standing there and everyone's hysterically laughing. But turns out I peed my pants.
Yeah. I left. There was. This reminds me of the 7th grade diarrhea on my chartreuse short story. That's for, we'll save that for the summer.
Perfect. That definitely seems like a summer episode.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. So I just want to tell everybody that we just finished Hanukkah last night on sundown.
Yep.
So
shalom.
Shalom. Hopefully everybody got their presents that they wanted. Zara, did we talk about your Hanukkah party?
We didn't.
Okay.
I think we recorded the day before.
That's right.
Yes.
You were on a Wednesday, so we had a very big week. Zara, first of all, I want to talk about your party.
Okay.
I attended.
You did.
So I can give
you... were the guest of honor.
I was the guest of honor.
As always.
We were there. No, just kidding. And there was a really nice spread when we got in.
There was lots of nibbles.
Yeah, little crudité plate that I brought over, a duck liver pâté.
Oh, yeah.
That was very orangey.
It was delicious.
Did you like it? I thought it was very, I was very
I liked
proud
it.
Of it.
It was absolutely fabulous. The texture of it was silky smooth.
Okay, good.
It was like eating a pair of silk pajamas.
Because I
in a good way.
Yeah, I was actually thinking satin, but I get it. I don't like to bring over things that I'm not proud of.
Of course.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That's why I don't bring over a lot of things. I'm like, oh, that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, the demons come inside me and they beat down my head. And I
and they beat down my little head.
Beat down my little head. But I stand up and I rise up strong and I bring a duck liver pate anyway.
You crazy.
I don't know
maniac.
How.
Maniac.
So that
cheers,
was fun.
By the way.
Oh, cheers.
We're drinking beer.
Zara
today.
Made some fabulous latkes. And Zara, I'm gonna publicly say,
oh my God.
I had one of probably the top three things that I've ever had of yours. It was a very
blushing.
Creative meal. And I know, and trust me, Zara knows that when I don't like it, I'm like, that was gross. You're like, fuck you. And I'm like, sorry. I just have to say that was gross. Bye.
Brent speaks truth.
Bye. I have to.
Toodles.
So when I do give a compliment, she knows it's real.
Yeah.
And I had these roasted carrots that she made. I'm talking she. Well,
I'll just close my... I'm going to go in the other room for
She's
a minute
closing
while you
her
tell
eyes,
everyone
but she has
about
her ears
this.
Open. Some roasted carrots with tahini, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds very like...
Nice fluffy tahini.
Yeah, so it sounds very like, oh, yeah, like I've seen that on every Whole Foods,
cool, you must go to the wing.
Yeah. But you put something very interesting on it. Zara, do you want to tell us?
I will. So I've mentioned on the podcast a couple times now, but I can't say it enough. That I have been making a simple, yet also complicated and very just utilitarian, I put it on everything, condiment. It's beautiful, young ginger from the farmer's market.
Available only at certain times of the year.
Yes, it's around right now. You could just use regular ginger if you get a nice quality ginger.
For sure.
I'm using these like crazy heirloom chilies from the farmer's market. Again, sub with like Fresno's.
Some hot chilies.
Hot chilies. And then lots of shallots and then some cilantro. And I do it in a 3-to-1 vinegar to water, plenty of salt.
That's 3 parts vinegar to 1 part water. So basically I told Zara, I said, oh, this is like a shallot mignonette, where it has lots of shallots shallot ginger mignonette.
Yeah.
And anyway, so she put that on top of the carrots and somehow, you know, we always associate carrots and ginger together.
Yeah.
But this was in a really unique, exciting way. And it
Thank
was with
you.
The it was the most, I was obsessed.
Thank you.
I was like, what the heck?
I really liked it too. It was great. Well, also that tahini was like, you know, sometimes you get the ratio. I never measure anything. So most of the time tahini comes out great.
I was actually shocked when you told me 3 parts to 1. I was like, wait, not just like, some of this and some of that.
Tahini can be, I think tahini at its best when you really nail it to exactly the right amount, drops of water.
It can't be too bitter. Can't be too bitter.
In that case, it comes out tasting like mayonnaise. It's the it should be the texture and almost the flavor.
So you
of
whip it,
mayo.
Or how do you?
I do it in the food processor.
There you go. That's the secret, folks.
Of course, and I drizzle in water slowly.
Oh my God, you emulsified. This girl's smart.
Yeah. Oh, actually, keep talking. I have a present for you.
Okay, perfect. I love presents. So we also finished. Okay, so she had that, some latkes, and some beautiful. What else did we have with that? What was the main course? Oh, spatchcock chicken, right?
Spatchcock chicken, and then your very own.
Oh my God, I have a very own shallot. Oh, I wish you could take a picture. It looks super grammable, girl.
So I didn't have any cilantro. So when you get home, just shove some cilantro in there and then let
and by the way,
I just made it today. It's not ready yet.
I was joking about the Instagrammable. I mean, it is, but I don't care about that.
No, it's gorgeous. And then, yeah, the main course, we had roast chicken with anchovy butter and leeks that I just, I roasted the chicken. I spatchcocked it. Mm-hmm. And then I put vermouth in the bottom of just like a sheet tray.
So smart and delicious.
And then I put the leeks under the chicken. Like I didn't have a roasting rack. So I was like, oh, I'll use the leeks as the roasting rack.
Exactly.
And I had air dried and dry brined my chicken for
now,
2 days.
Since it is roasting season and we do the, we're doing lots of roasted game birds and
pheasants, ortolans.
Yes, pheasants and geese and gooses.
Sparrows.
Sparrows and pigeons and
penguins
and squirrels and rats and anyway, anything that you can find that you get your hands on.
Grab it, knead it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I saw a cute little bunny chomping on a leaf, and I grabbed him and skinned him right there.
Human.
Okay, so that was a delicious thing. I brought over a dessert that I've been working on.
Oh, my God.
Okay, check this out.
I died.
There is, and I'm going to mention this as a quick shout-out, and then we'll move on quickly to our topic, but I mustn't.
No, please.
Mustn't get away without telling you about this place. In Amsterdam, it's called Winkel, W-I-N-K-E-L, pronounced like a V. And it is, they are known for their appeltart. Now, an appeltart in Dutch.
Not then, appeltart, appel?
Appeltart. Yeah.
Appeltart.
And it is kind of, some people know it as a Jewish cake, Jewish apple cake. But it is kind of, it's baked in a springform pan, and there's apples, and there's a crust, but it's between a pie and a cake.
Right.
It is, it's.
It was like a high.
High, exactly.
Like a high pie.
So basically, the crust, there's this place, this one particular place in Amsterdam, and it has like 100 times better than any other apple tart in the Netherlands. And even though that's a very typical dessert, they nailed it. And they are busy. Yeah. There's a line out the door every second of the day. And it's in this popular part of Amsterdam called Noordermarkt. If you go there, it's wonderful. Anyway, so I had been working on this recipe. I contacted my friend and pseudo-boss, Nora Singley, who is a...
Oh, really? Yeah. Nora Singley, friend of the show.
I called Nora. I texted Nora Singley. I was like, Nora. I was like... I texted her pictures and a video that I've taken, and I said, what do you think of this crust? And here's the base recipe I've been using. What do you think? And she gave me some pointers based on pictures and video.
She's amazing.
She's a genius. And Nora, if you're listening, you are a genius, and you know that. I know. Anyway,
she's
but so I adjusted some ratios, and it turned out wonderfully.
Wow.
And it was out of all the times I've been working on the recipe, this was the closest. Now, then there was some, you know, I said, okay, now... Less cinnamon, less that.
Yeah.
And I started to not get... Because this is... Remember we were talking about baking depression?
Yeah.
I decided, you know what? This is development. So now we...
Yeah, it's a recipe development. Also, if you are depressed about making something that delicious, I would have to really have a talk with your parents. That was very good.
And the only thing we were missing, which was because... I don't know why. We were missing whipped cream because I just kind of forgot to make it. Suddenly... Dinner was over and apple pie was being served.
Oh, God. It was so delicious, though.
Mary sent me a text. Anyway, so that was really fun.
What did Mary send you a text about?
That she said she loved it and she took all of it and I forgot to give it to her. Because I promised her like a big wedge of it and I just grabbed it. I was like, I'm taking this.
Oh, Mary.
So that was a fun time. And then there's a lot that happened this week. The very next morning, I left for Denver.
Oh, yes. Tell us.
Now,
can
I tell you about my week there? Because it was just...
Please.
It was perfection. And I started by going to this restaurant called Cart Driver, which has some of the best pizza. I love it. It's in the West.
What kind of pizza? Like what
Neapolitan
style?
Thin crust, wood-burning oven. They do a deal at happy hour late night every day of the week from 10 to 12.
What's
10 p.m.
the deal?
$5 margarita pizzas and $5 Manhattans.
Perfect.
So you can have two Manhattans and a pizza, and it is the total price of $15.
That's absolutely
$15.
Incredible.
And I saw an old friend named Lindsay, who's one of the operations managers, and she's great. And I had a wonderful time. And then
sounds great.
I went estate sale shopping to some of the most fabulous places. I was outfitting my brother's house in Morrison, Colorado. He's renting it under an Airbnb. Check it out if you'd like to stay at the Red Rocks.
Ooh.
Little plug there. It'll be open in 2 weeks.
Do you ever feel about estate sales? Like, I mean, it's an amazing thing to go estate sale shopping. It's so fun. But then when you stop and think, you're like, oh, I'm just rifling through a dead person's belongings.
Yeah, with
in their house.
You hear a lot of that while you're estate sale shopping.
It's
lots of people
kind
are
kind of upsetting.
I think it's wonderful. You know what? I thought about this.
Yeah.
Somebody said it because I got in one fight with this guy.
A fight with a straight
estate
you?
Sale. I was just trying
Come
to
Come on. That
I
doesn't
asked
sound
him
like
kindly,
you.
Listen, I got in three fights this weekend.
Okay.
And by fights, I mean, okay, first of all,
like,
hold on.
Bloody fist?
I'm going to tell you, sorry, this, I know, interject story really quickly. I'm leaving New York, and I get on the Long Island Railroad to go to JFK,
which is the Long Island Railroad. Okay.
And I sit down. It's rush hour. My flight's at 6:30. I'm trying to get out there. It's 5 o'clock. And,
sure.
And this guy, and I thought I forgot my headphones. I'm like, oh my God, they've got to be in this bag. I did forget them.
Oh.
So anyway, so
what?
I'm rifling.
That's the worst thing to forget on a long flight.
On a long trip, everything, oh, whatever. God. So I'm rifling through. I'm having a panic attack. And I'm trying, and then the guy goes, are you done yet? Or what? And I turn around. I'm like, excuse me?
You turn around, it's Joey Buttafuoco?
No, it kind of looked just like Joey Buttafuoco going out to like Massapequa. And I says to him, and I look at him, I go, I'm sorry, sir. I think I forgot something important, and I'm about to fly out, so I apologize if I've inconvenienced you.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm sure you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, pfft. Like, you know, a, pfft, you know, breath under the lip.
Was he sitting next to you, or was he looking to acquire a seat?
He was sitting next to me.
Oh, so he was just mad at your rifling.
He was mad at my rifling because it was annoying him. Oh. And I start rifling again. I go, you know what, sir? I go, I'm not done yet. I was like, I'm going to do this for the whole trip. And then I stared at him.
You cunt.
I'm such a bitch. So then fight number two was at the estate sale in Denver at this fun house. This guy had this crazy tool shop. And I asked this gentleman, he was looking forever. And I said, do you mind if I, he was very fat. Sorry, I shouldn't say that, but he was very large. And I asked him kindly, I said, do you mind if I open this drawer behind you? And he looks at me, he's like, and he growled at me. And I said, really? I was like, I get a growl.
You should have just growled back, and he goes, animals in the woods.
And I said, oh, I was like, I didn't know that you were allowed, that you were supposed to take up the whole thing in an estate sale. I thought it was a shared space, but I guess I must be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just doing that thing with him, and he didn't want to confront.
I actually got in a fight, too, with someone this weekend. I just realized, it was very small, but it was
the holiday fight.
It was a small, so I was with your boyfriend, Preston, mm-hmm. and we went to go see It's a Wonderful Life at
Classic
IFC.
Classic Christmas.
Neither of us had ever seen it. It blew my mind.
Did you cry?
I cried so much at the end that I was basically drenched when I left.
Was Preston crying?
I'm not sure. He's very tough.
Yeah, he doesn't believe horror movies. He's like, no, it's just a movie.
I just really loved it. It was so amazing. We had a great time. And then we went to Bavette after and had a couple glasses of champagne. And it was so fun.
How cute.
And there was this woman who comes and sits down next to me. Classic. What, is my hair messed up?
No, I just...
Oh, Brenton's patting at me. He's like, fix your hair. Everyone can see. we're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
So this old classic West Village, old crotchety lady.
Classic.
You know, who's been living alone for never married. Keeps getting more crunched up.
God,
back shrinking. Ooh, oh, my God.
Oh, the old wet. This isn't the old village
anymore.
Can you
believe the weather? What's going on here? I can't believe the putting this store here. This used to be a fish market. So she comes in. She sits next to me. There's plenty of room. Mm-hmm. Also, if anyone's been to Bavette in the West Village, lovely place. Very
the tiniest,
crunched
the
space.
Tiniest restaurant in the history.
Everyone has basically no space, and that's fine. So she pounds on my shoulder, tap, 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 and I go, yes? She goes, move over. I need space. You're sitting crooked. My chair was facing forward.
Preston told me the story and he assured you that you were straight. I said, are you positive Zara was straight?
My back was facing to her as I was facing my companion, and my chair was perfectly straight. And I just go, you know what? This is my personal space. And she goes, well, I need my personal space. And I just turned around. I didn't pay another bit of mind to her. And then I slipped some cyanide into her cockle van, and now she is dead.
And as she was leaving, she tripped, got ran over by an Uber / Lyft. And
I stole all her diabetes medication and replaced it with Tic Tacs.
Classic. And listen, I also want to quickly tell you about the rest of my trip in Denver.
Okay.
I ended up finishing. I went lots of shopping. I had a wonderful dinner, saw some friends, played some piano. I talked to this old man that deals player pianos. I went to his house. He made kale chips, red wine, and cheddar, had me over, and we listened to Victorola records of opera and played Scott Joplin, and then I played Chopin for him for an hour, and then we went out to this like drag show. It was wonderful.
Pardon all of us just for trying to exist. You have the most fabulous life. That
and then the
incredible.
Next day, Sunday, which is I thought couldn't get better than that, it did. Somebody invited us, and we went to this gentleman. His he operates an ice cream shop in Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very well-known ice cream shop. It's called Little Man Ice Cream.
Oh, that's cute.
His name is Paul Tamborello, and he's an entrepreneur and Paul, he's a philanthropist, and he runs the Denver Grow House, which is that sustainable thing I was telling everybody about last week. And I saw him, and he invited me to his cocktail party, and I got to meet him, and I showed up in a rabbit fur coat that I had just bought in an estate sale, and he gave me a big hug, and it was this, and he gave this wonderful speech about doing what you love, and everything will work out. And he said, you know, he was. I don't know his whole story, but I think he started with doing some real estate and he was not so doing so great in his life. And then he turned it around and had a wonderful, now he has this like company, has 150, 60 employees and he's super philanthropic. And
that's amazing.
He really like does good in the food world.
That's incredible.
And he opened this brand new facility. It's this factory and it's like state of the art. And it had one of those dry cleaning racks that like built all.
Oh my God.
An open kitchen.
Wait, a dry cleaning rack for what?
I don't know, just decoration.
That's so cool. Stuff. Was it in an old dry cleaners?
Yeah, and it works.
Wow.
So he had the state-of-the-art kitchen. He builds this beautiful facility to make ice cream and to experiment. And I met the kitchen manager, and we had cocktails. And he even gave us a roadie to go. He's like, bring a roadie on the car ride home, because that's safe in Colorado.
What?
Police, if you're listening, I didn't do it. So I had a nice cocktail on the drive home.
That's awesome.
So now I'm back.
Hi.
And we are back.
Welcome.
And is there anything else I want to mention?
I don't know. I am not in your head, but I'm assuming probably. As for me, I've been staying in a lot, guys.
You?
I've been staying in a lot. And to the point where I'm almost like, I'm staying in too much. Because I'm an out person, and I like to walk around a lot and do a lot of things. And bear in mind, I'm staying in and like doing work and writing and like doing cooking projects, but like, I have been inside a lot, and I've started talking to myself more than usual.
One does. You're going to be the crotchety old, instead of the West Village, you're the Cobble Hill girl.
Yes, yes. Oh, God, the babies everywhere. Oh, kids, the strollers,
look at them. This used to be a spice shop.
Oh, my God, I used to get my mozzarella here. Now look at it, there's thongs in the window. Thongs!
It's a baby shop. This used to be where I got my ricotta. Okay, so...
Oh, should we get into our topic?
Yes, because this all leads up to it.
So, should I start with the whole thing with the year and the blah, blah, blah?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So, Brendan and I are taking, we're going to do a big reveal.
I hope we didn't yap your off too much, but it's really kind
of,
we did some really cool
stuff. That's what they're here for. They're here for the yapping and the lip smacking. If you want to know something about food history, go read a goddamn book.
But can I tell you one quick thing?
Who else did you call a cunt?
Nobody. Okay. I apologize to everybody.
I'm sure they're all listening.
Sometimes
I feel attacked.
I don't know. It doesn't happen all the time. I'm actually a pretty nice guy. I'm from Wisconsin. When somebody attacks me, I'm like,
yeah.
You know what? You deserve to hear this because that's just wrong. Anyway,
sure.
I should let it go. I'm working on it. But I did find fresh injera at a gas station. I saw that on Instagram.
Can you explain to everyone what injera bread is?
Injera is an Ethiopian kind of bread. And it's not really a bread. It's made from teff flour. Which
it's almost like what we could describe it to almost like a naan or tortilla.
It's like a flat. It's like a pancake.
Yeah. Kind of like a flat bready thing.
Flat kind of Swedishy pancake. It's bubbly and it's made from teff, T-E-F-F flour, which coincidentally is the smallest grain in the world.
The tiniest grain.
Tinier than a poppy seed.
Tinier than a sesame seed.
Tinier than a sesame seed or a poppy seed. And what they do is they grind it up and they puree it. Okay. Suddenly, I went Wisconsin.
It's a variety show.
Ferment it, yeah. And they ferment it, and then for like 3 or 4 days, and then they cook it in a griddle, and it's like puffy, and it's gluten-free.
Mm.
It's good for digestion, and it has tons of amino acids and protein. It's really good for you, and we should be eating it more.
Teff. Injera.
Yeah, so I'm looking for it in New York.
You can find teff flour. Like, it's actually becoming more available. You can get it at like Bob's Red Fairway. Yeah, Bob's Red Mill. Babs Red Mill.
So, picture it.
Picture it. The year 1989.
Everybody was drinking out of cobalt blue glasses. White countertops were there, blonde wood, and everything was clean, sleek, and exciting.
Lots of wavy blonde hair and fluffy, kind of thin bangs.
That's right. People were spraying their bangs up, right?
Yes, yes.
Real high.
Bang spray, spandex,
mm-hmm.
high top sneakers. Okay, So the year 1989, to put it into some context, a couple of really important things that happened.
Yes.
The Berlin Wall comes down.
Oh my God, that's right.
The crash of the Exxon Valdez.
Seems like just like yesterday.
I know. We're two, you know what I read about that? I had to go a little bit further with the Exxon Valdez because I'm like, what was the aftermath here? So 250,000 seabirds died, 2,800 sea otters, only 12 river otters. I don't even know why they counted them. I mean, it just, I'm sorry for the 12 river otters that died.
They're
300
so
harbor seals, 247 bald eagles, and 22 orcas amongst of salmon.
I remember the bald eagles. Oh, what a
just swimming in oil.
Our nation's bird.
Thanks a lot, Rex Tillerson. The average monthly rent was $420.
Oh, my God.
Nationally. Now it's $1,405.
What was the average price of a cocktail, my question?
I don't know, but the average price of a gallon of gas was 97 cents.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah. Also, the year where thousands of students were wounded over protests in Tiananmen Square. Horrible. Over 200 people were killed.
Snack wells were just beginning to gain popularity.
Yes, snack wells were on the up and up. Fat, you're out.
Yeah. Fat, you're out.
Get out of it. Sugar, you're in.
Sugar, you're in. Like,
fat free.
Load of a sugar.
Lots of carbs. Lots of gluten. George H.W. Bush becomes president. See you later, Ronald Reagan. And one of my favorite fun facts of the cultural situation. Serial killer Ted Bundy was executed in Florida in the electric chair.
Wow.
Now,
it was a very tough turnaround, I remember.
Yeah, it was weird going into 1989. I was only five, so I remember all of this.
I was
yesterday.
In seventh grade.
Wow. You're very
seventh
old.
Seventh grade, yep.
A couple of the biggest music moments happened. The most famous albums of 1989. The Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, Pixies, Doolittle, Nine Inch Nails, Pretty Hate Machine, The Stone Roses self-titled album, one of my favorite fucking records ever. Actually, all of these are. Tom Petty, Full Moon Fever, Madonna, Like a Prayer, De La Soul, 3 Feet High and Rising.
Oh, wow, that was an
exciting year for music.
Can you possibly have any more explosion of creativity ever in the history of life?
Really, really awesome. Rain Man sweeps the Oscars. Sorry.
My God.
Still find it problematic. I feel like in this day and age, maybe this is a topic for a different podcast, kind of imitating mentally, challenge people. It's a bit taboo nowadays. We haven't seen that in a very long time. I'm just going to leave it there.
They do it about Asperger's. I mean,
it's hard to watch, though, when you rewatch it, to be honest with
you. I guess so, yeah.
And then, of course, the most important film. But anyway, Rain Man sweeps the Oscars, wins everything. The most important film, in my opinion, to come out was Twins.
Twins.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito pretending to be twin brothers?
Oh, my gosh. You're right. Okay.
What a crazy concept for a film.
But most importantly...
Well, hang on. I have a couple more things to note before we get into our topic. Taylor Swift, Harry Potter, and America's Sweetheart, and wife beater Chris Brown are all born... Kiwi and penne alla vodka were the biggest food trends, and a 48-year-old blonde bombshell known as Martha Stewart stars in her first line of Kmart commercials, makes her first appearance on David Letterman, and releases her first Christmas cookbook, Martha Stewart Christmas,
which I am holding in my hand the original copy. And I will describe this if we were doing a video show, which if you donate enough money on our Patreon page, we'll give you lots of video.
Help us.
We need a camera.
Make us rich. And a yacht.
I'm opening the cookbook. And Zara, as you can see here, she's covered with a fabulous forest green dress with a wide belt in front of pine cones and just the most tousled short blonde haircut.
It's amazing. Sidebar, I just want to say something about pine cones. Remember when Cafe Pedlar used to be, the coffee shop used to be next to Brucey?
No.
It was like to Frankie's coffee shop, and in their display case...
There was a coffee shop next door to Zara's old restaurant.
They used to have pine cones in their like pastry display case.
Okay.
And a lot of times by like, I don't know, 11 a.m. there was like no longer any pastries, and it was just full of pine cones, like one croissant. And every day I went in, I made the same joke. And I mean every day to the barista. I'd be like... I'm going to have a latte and I guess 3 pine cones.
They should take the pine cones out. Okay. All right, listen. So I'm staring at this photo, and it looks like she has a lob, right?
Yeah.
That's a lob. Like
you
a
wonder
lob.
How old she is in that picture? Guess how old she is in that picture?
42.
48.
You are kidding me.
I swear to God. She was 48 in the year 1989.
Oh my God. We are so on top of... Okay. So I open and I have... See, there's some gold lame wallpaper in the first page, and it is just filled... with stories. It's one of her triumphs of her life. I mean, the last time she did something so fabulous was her first book, Martha Stewart Entertaining.
Oh my God. Right? She's incredible. By the way, P.S., we should stop here and say our topic for today is Martha Stewart's Christmas. 1989.
Yes, that's
right. It's very niche, but it's also expansive.
It is expansive. And there's actually kind of a lot of approachable recipes that I find that you could be able to do.
Yeah.
Some her entertaining book is like Seafood Party for 178.
Yes, it's
really pretty unrealistic. But
a lot of snap peas in the entertaining book. Snap pea this, snap pea that. Stuff a snap pea. Put a snap pea in the pasta salad.
Well, so I thought Zara had mentioned that she wanted to do this little mini topic, which turned out to be a fabulous long podcast episode about Martha Stewart's Christmas and everything in it. So what we have decided to do...
Let's get to it.
So right now, Zara and I each made a recipe, which we're about to unveil to each other.
It's a secret, and we might have made the same thing because we didn't tell each other what we're making.
Yeah, but okay, here's the thing. I made two things.
Fucking hell? Well, you...
Martha Stewart. I just wanted to make sure that I was better than you.
You made like a butter relief of Martha Stewart. Yeah. Like, I've made you the Santa beard out of my own pubic hair that I dyed white using
all natural
materials.
It turns out I'm actually not me, and you were looking at the royal icing version of me. Here I come. Look. No, listen. Okay, ready? Are we ready for the unveil?
Yeah, you reveal first.
Okay, hold on. I'm sitting in front of the table.
I made pecan presents.
God, no,
wait, so these are...
These.
Hang on, I'm going to put my thing down.
Okay, so I'm staring at this red pot of a surprise dessert.
I put it in a cast iron pot to make it look like it was a hot dish.
Fool me, you did fool
me. So I made
a
recipe for pecan crescents. This was also like a R&D project. I didn't like the crescent shape as much, so I made most, like, basically pecan sandies, but here's my crescent layer, because the ones on the top broke.
Okay, so I'm looking at these gorgeous, which these are my favorite cookies of all time. Yes, I like them even better than chocolate chip cookies. And they're the pecan crescents are very simple. It's a dough made out of lots of butter, ground nuts, powdered sugar, and a tiny bit of flour.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So I adapted
Sarah just
the
put
recipe.
17 on my plate.
I adapted the recipe a little bit. Mm-hmm. I put cardamom in to make them like a cardamom crescent.
Mmm. They're salty and.
Mm hmm.
I love a crescent.
That is a fucking good cookie.
Great recipe.
A great recipe. It's so easy.
Question, did you add a little bit more salt?
Mm-hmm.
Because our taste buds have changed. And you said
I added a little bit more salt, a little bit more. I actually added an extra half cup of granulated sugar.
Oh, good idea.
And
based on your
calculations. I cooked them for a lot less time.
And what?
I cooked them for way less.
Well, why did you think that?
Because the first batch I made were, like, burning.
Oh, so this you made it twice.
Well, no. The first batch was going to burn if I left it in
for
the recommended, like, 15 minutes.
But
did you add more sugar
after you'd already mixed the batter? Or did you say, this looks like it needs
I tasted the batter, and I was like, this needs more sugar.
Okay. So, that's a very intuitive thing.
The texture is very good.
It's perfect. And I'm not lying.
Yeah. I know you wouldn't lie.
I wouldn't lie on public.
Mmm.
Okay.
Mmm.
So listen.
Yum.
That recipe.
These came out good. Oh, I wanted to just say something else about this recipe, though.
Go ahead.
It's the easiest recipe ever. You mix all the ingredients together in one bowl and mush it together with your hands. That's it.
Wait, you don't use a blender?
She says to mush it with your hands.
That is so crazy.
I mean, of course,
if you get this book, it's the original one from 1989.
It's really good.
They did have a reprint, which I found. I actually found both of my copies at thrift stores for $1 each.
Oh, really?
Yep. So don't overlook it. And people are bringing them out in the thrift stores right now. They're like, oh, bring out the old, you know. I don't know why you would ever get rid of this book. But I'm looking at the recipe, and it's on page 45, and the original version. I don't know what it is, but we'll post an Instagram story about it. And it's just very simple. Probably everything you have minus the nuts, you know. And you can substitute.
You can sub nuts.
Walnuts. Mm-hmm. If you only have pistachios because you're just more
finite. I made pistachio sandies last year.
Pistachio sandies. Cashews might be a little funny only because they're... Yeah.
Hazelnut.
Should be good.
I saw a recipe for, someone made peanut sandies. I think it was like maybe Julia Moleskine or someone. It's in the New York Times today or yesterday.
No, very cool. We're very on trend here at Life's a Banquet.
Yeah, I think peanut would be good.
Okay, so I was going to make for Zara's surprise, which I did make today, but I didn't realize that when I didn't read the recipe, and I should have known better, but I thought it still would be fine. I was going to make, and I did make marshmallows. Okay.
What?
Now, I added some peppermint oil, but the thing is, when you make marshmallows, it's not very complicated at all. Basically, you take some gelatin, you put it in some cold water, mm-hmm. right? And the recipe is also here. And then you heat over the stove some corn syrup and some sugar and, you know...
In a double boiler?
No, like you right heat on it the in stove. A pan. Yep. Corn syrup, sugar, some water, and then you pour that hot mixture into a syrup into the gelatin.
Oh,
and
wow.
And you whip it in your KitchenAid with the whip attachment for 15 minutes.
Holy shit. That's a long time.
And it becomes...
That is really whipping it good.
It whips it real good. It turns into this gorgeous... snow fluff.
Wow.
And so then you place it in the pan, of course, which this is why I'm sometimes I just don't think things through, and yeah. by sometimes I mean every second of my life.
Sure.
But you have to let it rest for 10 hours for the gelatin to set.
Oh.
But I thought I could bring it over and just let it so that you could see
yeah.
it, and then I was like, oh,
is
the
it
problem
here?
no I didn't bring it because
I
it was a little too wobbly, and I rode my bike because I can't afford a trading card right now. So
wait, try this one though. This is crunchier. I think it's better.
So now I'm
actually,
trying the actual croissant.
They're both good. But
I did something ahead of time, as
okay.
Martha would, is I already made a recipe from the cookbook.
Of course you did.
Which was last week. And you know what this is, but it is the pear chutney.
Oh, yes. Martha's pear
now,
chutney.
Now, I put mine in a little...
it looks adorable.
I put a little string around it, as one would.
But it's so cute.
Back in 1989. And mm-hmm. they still do. Okay, so the pear chutney. Sorry,
should I get
like,
a spoon?
Yeah, why don't you? Or here, hold my mic and I'll open.
Okay, and you describe it.
Breton's twisting a ball jar right now.
All right, so
twisting a ball jar real quick. Breton, what page can we find this pear chutney recipe on?
The pear chutney recipe. Is, give me 2 seconds.
This book is just so.
There's pictures.
Like early 90s, late 80s. It's just.
The pear chutney is prickly pear jelly or garden vinaigrette.
Prickly pear jelly.
Two.
Page 32.
Pear chutney. Now it's, okay, sorry. Let me open this up and I'll grab my mic. Who would have known it'd be so hard to open a bowl jar?
It looks
now,
amazing.
Sorry, let's talk about chutneys.
Okay.
Chutneys, this is very up Sara's alley. She loves.
I'll take the first bite since you're sick.
Fruits and other kinds of stuff. Okay.
Oh my god, it's so delicious.
I really didn't. The only thing
that's
that I.
That's so delicious, Breton.
I followed the recipe exactly.
It's very good.
The only thing that I didn't do, because I didn't have fresh chilies, I used chili flake.
Okay.
At the time.
It's very tasty.
The second thing that I changed was I added mustard. Mustard
the mustard
seed.
Seeds are very nice.
Because I wanted it to kind of be like an Italian.
Like
mostarda.
A mostarda, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had mostarda in Italy?
Oh my god.
Like when you go to Italy? I mean, you can have it here. That's very good. Where the mostarda is clear and, like, the liquid in it is, like, clear and the fruits are, like, almost, like,
they're
candied.
Yep. Okay, so these, I love having
wow.
condiments around. So
that's great. That's
so
delicious.
Pear chutney. I thought, oh, what could I do with this? Well, first of all, anything.
It's fabulous.
You could serve this with some blue cheese as kind of, like, your little condiment when you put it on your toasted baguettes or something.
Yeah.
I also thought this might be really good with a roast chicken.
I was just going to say that, or a turkey sandwich.
A turkey sandwich. That's wonderful.
A perfect turkey sandwich.
So this
or
is
a ham sandwich.
A chutney is basically, it's a mix of sweet and savory. So it's fruit, in this case, pears, and I use some dried cherries, and then, you know, garlic, onion, ginger, chili.
It's very good.
And it's just
it's
yummy,
divine.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of vinegar. It's kind of like a vinegar base.
Well, yeah, it's exactly the kind of thing I like. I love agrodolce, which is kind of, in a way, the Italian version of a chutney, although it doesn't always incorporate. It's just sweet and sour. I mean, sweet and sour is my favorite flavor.
So as we page through this book, and I kind of just talked to you about it, but there's different themes. You see her pouring. Look at this. She's pouring some gravy into,
oh, look
like,
at that woman.
A 4
gravy
foot,
pours.
Like a 4 foot copper pot. You know, the typical 4 foot.
You just have
foot,
lying around.
Yeah. And, of course, she's making giant things. She throws parties.
Did you say she's making giant bangs?
No, giant things of everything.
She kind of does have giant bangs, too.
My two favorite things from the book are the gold-dipped, what do they call that? The gold-dipped persimmons and kind of,
Oh, with, like, gold leaf.
She has gilded wrapping paper and gold leafing.
Oh, my God.
And she has all these, like, pine cones.
There's a lot. The book is very high. Pine cones were trending in 1989. Hard.
Yep. Gilded centerpiece. That proved
mm-hmm.
you had money.
Yes.
You were wealthy. You were affluent.
Look at all my gold-covered pine cones.
And my favorite thing in her book, she has featured a a miniature version of her very own house. And I think it was in Turkey Hill back then.
Look at that. It's a gingerbread mansion.
A gingerbread house that she copied of her house.
Yeah. That's very nice.
Shows you directions architecturally, how to assemble it, how to draw it out. Because those are just things you do before.
Sorry, squirrel.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Yeah, squirrel. That's crazy. Have you ever made a gingerbread house?
I have.
And?
I made a gingerbread mansion one time.
And what happened? Did you eat it?
No, it's, you don't really, I made, okay.
Eat it.
So I went a little bit overboard and I tried to base it off of my house growing up. It was a little complicated.
You grew up in a gingerbread mansion?
I had to make an extra ton of royal icing to try to fit, because it wasn't holding together.
Right.
So I had to, like, basically make all this extra foam, like, glue it together.
Right. You made a gingerbread, like, McMansion.
It was okay. It was, for a first timer and I was much younger, it turned out pretty well. And I used melted Jolly Ranchers for the windows.
Wow.
I use Necco candies for the roof, like that pastel colored circular disc candy.
Sure.
Lots of pretzels, lots of candy canes for a little fence. And
are you supposed to eat a gingerbread house?
You can. At the end,
because otherwise, why not just make it out of cardboard? What's the point of making it out of food if you can't, if you don't eat it?
Don't question tradition.
I'm just saying. I don't understand tradition.
When I was in Salt Lake City in Utah, there's a gingerbread house competition, and I went last year, the year before actually, and there were so many gingerbread houses, I think a few hundred, and you get to walk around and see everybody's gingerbread houses that they work on for months.
Whoa.
So that's really exciting, and
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So Martha was kind of the queen of Christmas, and still is in certain ways, of that very specific kind of ideal about Christmas of having things be perfect. And she was, I guess she just reminds me of Christmas when I was a kid. And my dad kind of did the same thing as Martha would do. He would set up these like little areas in the house that had fake snow and a train running through it. Mm. And definitely like lots of pine cones.
Yep.
Which one do you like better, by the way, the crescent or the sandy?
I like the crescent.
It's crunchier.
Yeah.
But the other sandies I made are actually crunchier too. Those ones were just like on the top are a little underbaked.
So listen, nothing got that when I found this book at this thrift store, I was reminded, and suddenly it whipped me into holiday spirit.
That's amazing.
And yes, of course, I think some of the things, like who's really going to make a gilded pine cone centerpiece?
This guy.
Well, I don't know. Like, I probably might not.
I'm pointing at the squirrel.
Oh, yeah. The squirrel. I'll start the gilded centerpiece, and then I'll not finish, and I'll be very upset.
There's just a bunch of, like, spray-painted gold pine cones lying around
now,
your bedroom.
Now, she was doing this for a book and for money, so, of course,
right. She
just said, I'm going to pull all the stops.
Totally. Do we have a modern-day Martha?
No.
I know.
There are definitely a lot more people doing.
There's just a Martha. It's like a Martha that's fractured off into a bunch of different sub-Martha, like, kind-ofs. But no actual Martha.
Mm-hmm. I've heard there's a lot of real life Marthas, people that just are obsessed as she is about getting everything right, you know, in middle America.
I'm kind of looking at one of them right now.
Yeah. I'm kind of a little bit of, I always wanted to be Martha Stewart, like that, you know, the next of kin.
We should be here for Halloween.
I'm not as greedy, so that kind of like, and I never strive for money or perfection. Mm-hmm. I got a little lazy. Yeah,
that is a difference between the two of you.
That is a major vast difference. Martha, I know it's like.
It's a vast difference.
I'm just missing 14 chromosomes. But we're almost the same.
You're missing 14 chromosomes and $14 billion.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're exactly alike.
So
you're like twins. You're like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Full circle. Bring the joke full circle, Zara.
So, you know, the thing is about this book is take what you love. She is just, I think she just created a wonderful historical and inspirational, well, many books.
Many
to
books.
Just, like, remind us about tradition and life and what it all means. I'm sure she probably didn't leave, you know, according to her daughter, they didn't always have the most wonderful Christmas.
Yeah. Why? Tell me what you were going to say before about Martha on Christmas. She stayed up till like 5 a.m.
Yeah, I read the intro to one of her books. I think it was the hors d'oeuvres, and she talks about how during Christmas she couldn't be with her husband and her new daughter because she had the editor was like, we need this book by like, you know, December 27th. And she had to go through all the recipes. And she said she stayed home and voraciously cooked and tested all of our recipes finished writing, doing the, which, you know, she did.
Oh, of course.
And was probably like crazed. And like, if you talk to her, she's like, I got it.
I'm just rolling as many strudel as I can.
This is the fourth batch of croissants I made. And this pear chutney was 2 miniatures.
I'm covered in popcorn balls.
Yeah.
Well, that was my other thing I was going to make was popcorn balls. And then I was like, I can't really give these away. No one's going to want one of these.
Yeah, people love popcorn balls.
Do they really?
We're going to make savory popcorn balls this year.
But you have to make them with marshmallow.
Well, we're going to glue them together with Parmesan cheese and mayonnaise.
Or we could just glue them together with glue.
Only eat the outside.
Let's make our friends eat glue this year for Christmas.
It's edible glue.
Hey, it's rubber cement. You'll die, but it's going to be funny for us to watch you eat glue.
Yes. So anyway, what else can we tell about...
We could use gelatin.
That's true.
Anyway, sorry. Now I can't stop thinking about gluing popcorn together.
So let's talk about other things that... Should we talk about how Martha Stewart has influenced us?
Sure. Top three ways?
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead. Well, that'll be our top three this week.
Number one, I would say that my entire... Or rather, number three. Let's start with number three.
That's usually what we do.
Gardening.
Okay.
Martha has... I've seen her gardens.
You have a personal connection to
the
gardens.
She knows so much. She knows so much about every subject around gardening. And she also... This is the second... I guess gardening. Sure, obviously. Second thing... Cleaning. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't always have I have secrets in my house, like the junk drawer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a linen closet.
You pull out one of your drawers and there's like 12 cats living in it.
My boyfriend Preston is actually a real life. If you combine Preston and I, then together we are Martha Stewart.
That's true.
He's perfect. Like his linen closet
he's perfect.
He is perfect. He folds things perfectly and that's part of the attraction. I'm like, oh my God, you're just like
he's
Martha.
He's so neat. Yeah.
So it's shaped my relationships. As a gay man, I want somebody that's just like Martha, but nicer.
But with a penis.
Yeah. So there's that. And so for cleaning, mm-hmm. I guess that's my number two. Like she talks about different cleaning tools and how to organize things. And she used to write this calendar for her month. And I don't know if it was real or not, but a project that you would do every day and really keeping her life in order.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, my absolute number one, like most obvious thing is cooking in yellowware bowls. Her bowl collection and her copper collection.
It's true.
Just to open them up in the bowls, the mixing bowls that she has.
Her yellowware bowls are incredible.
They're beyond.
It was really funny. I was watching a Thanksgiving special that she did yesterday, and she was like, this is how we're going to make the most delicious stuffing to put inside the turkey. Follow me. So she puts like, first we'll start with white breadcrumbs. Then we're going to start with some of these. We're going to add some of these delicious little sausage balls. And she keeps adding stuff to this yellowware bowl, and it's like brimming over the top where it's all spilling out. And I was like, how are you going to mix this? Why don't you have access to any bowl in the world? You chose the smallest bowl and you didn't do like another take. I was just shocked.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of her filming back then, they didn't have as many takes.
This was pouring everywhere. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Even Martha had to evolve into...
I know. It was like a Fanny Craddock situation.
Yeah. So...
Okay. That's great.
What about you?
Okay. Number three, I guess, home decorating.
Oh.
Brenton and I are both pretty serious about, you know, making our houses cute. And when I was a kid, when I was like 16, I was pretty messy. And then as soon as I moved to college, my dorm, I did what I could at every step of the way to make my space cute. And obviously, when I was in college, it was with what I had, which was crap. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. in a college dorm. But I still was very clean and I did everything I could. Like I ripped things out of, you know, Juxtapose magazine and put them on the wall, but in a cute way. And then I remember when I was younger and broke and in college, I used to get fake flowers from mm-hmm. like the bodega. When I moved into my first apartment, I was obsessed with like putting like fake flowers everywhere, and I'd put like these really big pops of color. I actually think it's still cute, like really gaudy fake flowers in the corners and like everywhere. And so I've always just really felt like that's important. And a lot of stuff happens in life. You can't control breakups, makeups, shakeups, death, dying,
jail time,
firing,
insider training.
Exactly.
These are things you can't control.
Falling in a hole in the middle of the street. Who knows? But one thing you can control really at almost any kind of financial in whatever financial situation you're in, barring you're like incredibly, you know, homeless, you can have the opportunity to make your space your own in whatever way that is with whatever you have, you know, if you're not that kind of person, you're not that kind of person. If it doesn't matter to you, then, you know, don't listen to me. But if it does matter to you and you want to do it, like just finding a way and maybe even just watching old Martha videos, she makes it look so easy because it is actually kind of easy.
Mm-hmm. She had a lot of people to help her and yeah. she paid a lot of people to help her and she also had a vision.
That was like a really important thing to me. I guess number two, it's really hard to like pick a thing. I guess like her style, like through the
years,
but that
simple
perfect
East Coast Hamptons.
Exactly. Like, that like 90s style with just...
It's timeless.
Yeah, it really is timeless. Early 90s Martha, even 80s Arthur. Plaids. It's very like Ralph Lauren. That, like 90s and 80s
Funny
Ralph Lauren never goes out of style.
Yeah. They live next door to each other.
Yeah, and like that short kind of princess dye haircut when she did her hair like that. Just
that was
like
the cutest.
Really cute. She like velvet dresses during the 80s. Her style is great. It's timeless. She still has great style, even for a woman who's almost 80 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, style is another thing that honestly, almost at any price, and of course, I don't want to like sound like some ignorant, dumb, privileged white woman here. Like at any economic status, you can look great. But there is always a possibility from whatever you can afford to try to put yourself together in a way that you feel comfortable. And I think
that makes sense,
I learned that from Martha too. The number one thing I learned from Martha, and this is the most important for me, and I'm sure a lot of other women, she's unabashedly strong. Mm-hmm. As a female.
Oh my gosh.
And she doesn't care that people think she's cold or thorny or a bitch or a cunt or not fuckable or whatever it is that mm-hmm. people say about her. She reminds me of a Hillary Clinton. She's unabashedly strong because she wanted something for her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she was unwilling to be like, well, I'm going to play this other role because I need men to like me, or I need women to like, you know. She's like, I'm me, and it worked. Look at her where she is now. She's so strong. She's so brave. She went to prison and it made her better.
She wrote a book in prison.
She's
called the Martha Rules, which I love, by the way.
She's just such a strong person. And there are all kinds of heroes out there. There's heroes who really have had nothing in their lives. Clearly, Martha Stewart is a privileged woman. Has been a privileged woman for a long time, but nonetheless, she's still incredibly strong. And sometimes at the end of the day, like, you know, even if you are born with privilege, with financial privilege, white privilege, you know, even still just maintaining some sense of self and being able to stand up there and give like strength to other people mm-hmm. because of that. Like, I look at Martha and I'm like, you know what? I don't have to compromise who I am. I have a strong personality. I don't have to pretend that I don't for people to like me. If you don't like me, get in line behind the other 1,000 people who don't. I don't care. I'm going to keep this train moving.
I have a vision. I have an opinion and I'd like to share it.
Yeah.
And I don't really care what you think.
And that's okay.
And I'd like to have a 60-acre estate with horses.
And actually, she's not a bitch. She's just a very like serious, in a lot of ways, like a serious businesswoman. And that is interpreted as bitch. And the fact of the matter is that you can be a serious businesswoman. You can stand up for yourself. You can not take bullshit. Doesn't mean you're a bitch. If that's what you want to label it, you need to put a name on it. Fine. I'll be a bitch. I'm sure she's fine with being called a bitch too, if it means that she gets to be herself. I met her once. I was on her show.
That's right. Zara was on the show.
I was on Martha's show. It was incredible. I was maybe 6 months into my restaurant, Brucey. It was mm-hmm. in 2010. And I get a call. And this is where I first met Nora Singley, who now Bretton works with. Because she was working she was working on the show. And I was so nervous because I was nobody. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about restaurants. I was not like a professional chef. I had just opened this restaurant.
You're
no
like,
experience.
Oh, just making this.
I don't know why they asked me to be on it. But she asked me to be on and make lasagna. And she wasn't overly nice to me. She wasn't like coddling or like super saccharine sweet. But she certainly was not mean. And she just had an air of queendom to her. She just was like a special person.
Mm-hmm.
You could just tell she's a special person. She was no bullshit. She was definitely kind. I don't want to, but she was also just like
matter of fact.
She was matter of fact, but in the best possible way. And I walked away feeling, I was like, this is one of the high points of my entire life.
Wow.
For me, it was like seeing like, you know, the pyramids, which you've already told us is not that great.
Yeah, there's a KFC at the end. Don't worry about it.
Well, Martha Stewart did not have a KFC at her end.
Yeah, yeah.
She looked fabulous. She's like, here's tall, some fresh thin, beautiful. She's beautiful. She's amazing. So I love her.
There you go.
That's my diatribe
down
on
to the bottom
Martha
of it.
Stewart. She's the one. Get out of my dreams and into my car, Martha Stewart.
Get into my dreams. Well, I do my top favorite recipe from her because I said I love her cooking.
Please.
The one that I use all the time, strangely enough, is the banana bread recipe.
Oh, really?
From the cookbook, it's really easy. It's like a cup and a half of sugar, some flour, like a cup butter, and really simple, and it just works out perfectly every time.
Her recipes are really simple to follow for the most part.
I mean, later she had a lot of content, and I don't think all of them were tested as carefully. But some of them are in the ones that work. And also it's just inspirational.
Totally. It's amazing. I think, like, just in the same vein as like these cookies, like, I think her base recipes are good. I think they sometimes need to be adapted to fit our palates, which are like maybe saucier or juicier or saltier or sweeter.
Yeah, maybe like a little more butter or...
Right. But the base recipes are good. And I do really appreciate that they're... What I think like she really brought to the table, no pun intended, was where like Julia started off, which was like, oh, mastering the art of French cooking. She's like, I'm going to take this thing that's very like, seems very hard to... execute, and I'm going to do it. So that means you can kind of do it. And I think Martha took it to the next level down, even not in a bad way, but just to the next level of approachableness, where she was like, I have fancy taste. I have money and I have taste and I have style, but I'm going to show you. And when she did that partnership with Kmart, yeah. I think that really changed. Actually, it was one of the pivotal moments of making food and style more accessible
I'm
to American consumers.
I'm also going to show you how to polish silver. And yeah. also going to show you how to set your table. I'm also going to show you how to winterize your rose bushes. I mean,
she really goes on. She like knows how to do everything. She's so competent and so fab.
If you Google anything about housework recipes, Martha's done it. You're like, oh, shoot, she already did that.
She's
like,
a fucking beekeeper.
Yeah. Yep, beekeeper.
She's like covered in bees one day. She's like riding a horse.
Vintage wallpaper. The list goes on.
She's master of change.
Well, Zara, there was a little holiday that passed on December 6th, which a lot of people don't talk about.
Tell us.
I think I might have mentioned in the last podcast, it's Sinterklaas. December 6th is the Dutch Christmas. I told you that. And we used to call it St. Nick's Day. So it was a little present. So I got you a couple little presents from some estate sales.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm so lucky.
So
guys.
I'm holding in my hands here.
Brenton's the best
surprise.
Friend ever.
No wrapping paper.
Oh my God. The ground meat cookbook.
I'm holding two little.
I should give this to Adam Golfer. He's afraid of ground
meat. I gave Zara two little cookbooks. Those little like.
Oh my God. Refrigerator desserts. 250 yep. gross refrigerator desserts. I'm so excited.
Can you check the year on that cookbook? But I think they're 1954. Those little kind of like cookbooks, the little miniature catalog-y ones.
These are amazing, Breton.
1954. And then
I'm looking
what else
for the
is
date
really
right
cool?
Now.
And
1952, the year my mother was born.
1952. So I found some cute little things. And then
Breton, this is awesome.
A 1912.
Oh my God. You are the best magazine. Person ever. Isn't Thank that? You so much.
So I got Zara. It was a magazine during the turn of the century.
Oh my God.
And this is from 1912.
This is so cool,
Breton. It's called The Modern Priscilla. And it was like a women's magazine.
Oh, this is so cool.
And I love looking at those old magazines to read the articles.
Wow.
The ads. There's a spread about how, you know, for next year's Thanksgiving. Anyway.
This ad is about for Campbell's Soups. And it's like 21 kinds, 10 cents a can. Asparagus, beef, bouillon, celery, chicken, mutton.
Classic.
Mutton soup in a can.
1912. Very popular.
Oh, my God. Listen. Tomato okra. That would... What is Printainer?
I don't know.
Printanier? Anyway, thank you very much. This is really, really thoughtful and sweet. I'm going to give you a big hug after this.
Unfortunately,
wow.
You can't have my Martha book.
No, that's okay.
So listen, we want to hear on Instagram or our email, we want to hear how Martha has influenced you.
Yes, please.
Or if you have questions about any of the recipes we mentioned,
yeah.
We'll mail you a hand dictated letter that is dictated through our iPhone that is emailed back to you.
Or a ham.
Yeah, or a ham. And
it'll be written on a slice of ham.
Life's a Banquet Show at gmail.com and find us on Instagram
at
Life's a Banquet Podcast.
And please, God damn it, rate, review, subscribe, and download our podcast because here's why. Stick with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to mention something also before we end the podcast.
Okay.
Stick with us because that's how podcasts work. And it only takes a second if you're listening to the show and you haven't downloaded or written a review or...
It's like giving us a little tip and not that we're begging for money, but we're begging for
money.
But
that's how we get notoriety and that's how we can keep doing the show and keep making the show better. So I know it's annoying, but please do it or we'll find you.
Your Christmas gift to us is press pause right now and just do it really quickly. It really
just
helps.
Just do it and then make your entire office do it too. We all do it together like a big key. Throw your keys in a bowl. I have to mention something.
Zara's got
a mini sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
A mini sponsor from our wonderful, beautiful, fabulous friends at Field Company. So Field Company makes American-sourced and American-made gorgeous cast iron pans.
And I just My boyfriend just gifted me one for December 6th.
That's so nice. They're so beautiful, and it really is worth it. Like, in terms of being better than other cast iron pans out there, this is not ad copy. This is just off the dome. But wouldn't you say it's, like, a much better product?
Well, the thing is about cast iron pans is that they've gained a lot of popularity, and Lodge makes them. And the thing is, people always say, oh, if you can find the old antique ones. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why those are better. Because they were cast iron, and they were polished smoother,
yes,
on the cooking surface. And so Field Company makes their cast irons as such, and they're also a little bit more lightweight because of technology. So when you finally season your pan properly, as you should with every cast iron pan, we'll show you how to do that. It is the smoothest, naturally non-stick surface without the harsh chemicals. It doesn't have Teflon, doesn't have anything that's bad for you. And so you can actually have a real live nonstick cast iron pot.
They're really amazing.
And they're super smooth. So we just got ours last week, and we're just starting to season it.
Yeah. Gorgeous. So the final ordering date for Field Company pans, they only have the 12-inch left. The 12-inch is pretty large. For reference, you can cook a 14-pound turkey in it, which is pretty cool.
I love my 10-inch one. I can cook a variety of things. I can roast a whole chicken in it.
12 inches is pretty big.
Yeah. I mean,
but if you can take it,
I just prefer 10 inches. I think it's more approachable for everyday kind of just.
Well, I think they're sold out of everything for the holiday except for the 12-inch. The final day for it to arrive before Christmas is December 13th. I'm not sure if this podcast is going to come out before the 13th or on the 13th, but
it can always be a New Year's Eve present.
Exactly. So, you know, we don't have any kind of promo code or anything because it's not an official ad, but this is most like just a props for our friends Field Company. We really love them a lot. They're wonderful people, and you should buy their pans if you want the best quality cast iron pan on the market.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, listen, happy baking, happy cooking, happy drinking, eating, dancing, Christmas timing, shopping.
Making out with someone unattractive from your office that has a wife at home.
We're not condoning, nor
saying you shouldn't. Yeah. Try it out.
Just see what happens. Sometimes, yeah.
No sex, just kissing.
Exactly. All right, well, thank you.
That was fun.
And we will see you next week here on Stitcher or iTunes.
Okay, hasta la pasta.
Ciao.
Bye.